You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It is Tuesday. A lot of times around here, we like to refer to it as Taco Tuesday. In fact, Butters is on the board today. Hey man, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be back.
Big Rig needed an extra day. Had to fix a car problem.
But you're getting soft around here.
I don't know what to say. It's just, I guess I've gotten old and some of the crusty's wearing off. I'm not sure. Did you know we have a Taco Tuesday sound effect?
Do we?
Yes. There's a button over there that says Taco Tuesday or something like it.
Hold 1 second.
Find that while I begin telling people what a great show we got. So oh, you found it. Right. Yeah. By the way, I went home last night, and Charlene did have meatloaf on Meatloaf Monday. It was awesome. Made me happy. Just saying. Comfort food.
Why do we always have to start with, now I'm going to be hungry.
I know. It's just part of what we do. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you today at 4 o'clock. He's been on the show several times. He's really good at what he does. I've known him for years. John Rogers is a national-level pollster now with the national polling organization Signal Analytics. But they are one of the top and most renowned pollsters now. And so John Rogers, Signal pollster, is going to be on at 4 p.m. And then just so happened this morning, I was texting back and forth with Congressman Gary Palmer. And Congressman Palmer sent me some stats. And I said, you know what? This is great. This falls right in line with my segment that I'm doing with John Rogers. You want to call in? He goes, yeah. So anyway, at 4:30 p.m. then, we'll have Congressman Gary Palmer on, who's got some other very cool stats that show how the demographics of the votes are breaking down. So 4 o'clock, John Rogers, pollster, 4:30, Congressman Gary Palmer. And I still got a whole triple dipper, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, the Afghanistan debacle. Look, yesterday was a three-year anniversary of the suicide bombing at the Abbey Gate that took the lives of 13 U.S. service members and 170 Afghan civilians. It was a debacle. The entire thing was a debacle. The whole pullout was a debacle. And I think that the day after is the time to talk about it. So we're going to refresh on some of the things that have happened since then and some of what was going on even back then. The Afghanistan debacle, that's number one, triple dipper. Number two, Space Force. All right, now listen, how many of y'all used to watch Space Ghost cartoons? I'm just saying, I feel like I ought to have a sound effect that goes, Space Force, but anyway, or the opening to Star Trek or something. But anyway, the bottom line is Space Force is real. It is. And Space Force is here to stay. It has now been established as a branch of the service. And then we have Space Command, which is different but related. And we're going to talk about all of that. And oh, by the way, is Huntsville ever going to get Space Command headquarters? Space Force, number two, triple dipper. We'll cover down on that. And then number three, in conjunction with those conversations we're having with John Rogers and Congressman Palmer, run the numbers is what I'm saying. What are the numbers? Where are we? Are they good numbers? Is it with a grain of salt, or do we take it for granted? I mean, where are we right now? What are we looking at for the presidential and maybe even the down ballot races in the current mode that we're in? Run the numbers. We're going to talk to John Rogers and Gary Palmer and just opine a bit on where we think we are. All right, that's the triple dipper. That's the layout of the show. Let me move on now to my opening monologue. The Right Side Way monologue. I titled it today, What We Did Was Not In Vain. So yesterday was the third anniversary of the loss of 13 U.S. service members at the Abbey Gate in Kabul, Afghanistan. It was a horrific day, made even worse by the fact that it was entirely preventable. And worse yet, because the Biden administration took zero responsibility for the losses that were suffered. I looked back in the Right Side archives to see what I had said back then around that time, and I thought it'd be worthwhile to recount some of what I find in my archives in terms of what the practice of law would refer to as my then-present sense impression. The actual thoughts that I was expressing contemporaneously right here on this show with the events in Afghanistan during that fateful month of August 2021. So on August 16th of 2021, I said this. I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was a hard day. As a veteran of myself of the war in Afghanistan, I was watching in real time as the country to which I had deployed for a year turned into chaos, anarchy, the Taliban. The Taliban, the same group of Neanderthal thugs who were complicit in and celebrated the events of 9/11 that killed thousands of Americans, they were given everything they wanted. And as a result, we are now back to pre-9/11 in the nation of Afghanistan. I mean, blood and treasure were spent and spilled over there for two decades. And for what? For what? It's a fair question. But I did have an answer back then when I was talking about it on the air while it was live and present. It's the same answer that I have today. So all you veterans and families of veterans especially, lean in. Listen to me right now. Hear me say this. As one of your brothers in arms, I will tell you that your time was not wasted. Your sacrifice is not forgotten. Your honor is intact. I coined a phrase back in 2021. I still repeat it. That any failure in Afghanistan, it was because of the politicians in the suits, not because of the men and women in the boots. But saying that, I mean, it's real. It doesn't make it easy. It just puts it in perspective, though, right? Do not ever confuse the honor of your personal service with the dishonor of politicians screwing things up. Me personally, I only serve with good men, solid dudes, operators and technicians. I lived immersed among the Afghan people, though, too. My team operated remotely among the Afghan populace, living in their communities, eating their food, learning their language, even wearing their clothes. I drank tea with warlords, I rode horses, and I drove old beat-up Russian jeeps. We would do presence patrols and village assessments, try to find Taliban, report unexploded ordnance, and we were told more than once that we were the first Westerners ever seen in some villages. What that did, though, was to acclimate me to the horrors of what life had been like under the Taliban. I got to see it up close and personal. I saw the societal scars from their years of Taliban rule. And in my view, the Taliban, they're not a government. They're criminal thugs. They're no better than MS-13 or some other street gang. But I saw good, solid, salt-of-the-earth Afghan people start blinking in the light of a new day when we came in. So while I grieve for the losses of our U.S. service members and the battlefield capitulation of the U.S. government after 20 years of blood and treasure, my personal experience in Afghanistan also causes me to grieve for the Afghan people who were given a taste of freedom only to have it snatched away from them by feckless politicians. I mean, that deployment, I missed a year of my children's lives, a year of my marriage, gaps in time that cannot be replaced. I've known troops who suffered during and after, but I also remind myself that the battles were won by U.S. and Allied troops on the ground. They were. Soldiers, sailors, and Marines from the U.S. acquitted themselves like warriors on a daily basis in that fight. And there was good that was done, too. There was. The individual lives of Afghan men and women and children who had been subjugated and beaten and herded like cattle under the Taliban, they were given two decades, 20 years of breathing room. Back in August of 21, I heard retired Major General H.R. McMaster. He was the former National Security Advisor to President Trump, somebody who I, by the way, had the honor of meeting during my time at Fort Benning. He said that it's a question of leadership as to whether we are allowed to complete the Afghan mission with honor. Yeah, a question of leadership indeed. But yet I've never seen that leadership, have you? Did anyone really follow up and do anything of value to reclaim the tattered honor of our country in the wake of Afghanistan? Not anybody from the Biden administration, I assure you. No general, no secretary, no high-ranking member of the Department of State, no national security team members, nobody that I can recall was ever relieved or caused to resign. They just watched as 13 flag-draped coffins came off the plane while Joe Biden checked his watch and they moved on. But those of us who know, we know. And those of us who were there, we have not forgotten. Among my comments back in August of 2021, I found where I told my listeners that we still have the full capability as a nation, as a military, to fully engage this process and to fix this situation. And I pointed out back then, I'm no rocket scientist. Militarily, I'm just an old colonel, a salty old school ranger who still tries daily to beat back the ravages of time and pops Tylenol when it catches up to me. But even back then, just a few days before the bombing at Abbey Gate, in one of my Right Side Way monologues, I said that if they would do it, I could see a few things that would make good strategic and tactical sense. even from this far side of the horizon, I could see them. So here was my version of a 7-step plan that I outlined back then, and the result of it. Number one, my thought was, launch the Ranger Regiment and seize Bagram Airfield, followed closely by a more robust element of a Striker Brigade combat team to go defilade in and create a safe and defendable zone for a manageable airlift. A manageable airlift. But we didn't do that. For reasons unknown, we literally abandoned the controlled, defensible environment of Bagram, by the way, which we had spent nearly $100 million on to move to the indefensible civilian airport in Kabul. The rest is history. Number two, I suggested that we reinforce the Kabul airport, though with more troops with expanded capabilities, and push that perimeter out further and give us expanded fields of fire and clear and manageable rules of engagement to deal with the enemy. We didn't do that. Carnage was the result. Number three, I suggested that we absolutely must manage the battlefield messaging with U.S. PSYOPs and give them full range to announce in no uncertain terms that we have withdrawn any date certain that we would leave, that the Taliban just bought themselves a turd sandwich and we were going to make them eat it. But we didn't do that. The Biden administration decided to post a date on the calendar and pull out no matter what. And the enemy knew when we were leaving, and it made it worse. Number four, I suggested that we kill bad guys. But we stopped killing bad guys. And so bad guys stopped running. And they turned their attention on killing the good guys. That's what happened. Number five, I suggested that we conduct a positive exfiltration of all U.S. citizens and friendly forces and then just hang around a bit longer and stare at the Taliban just for good measure until we and only we were satisfied. And we didn't do that. We abandoned nearly 1,000 U.S. civilians and green card holders. And the abandonment was the salt in the wound of the whole thing. Number six, I actually said back then, we need to collect or destroy any weapon or source of military hardware that we can identify that has Made in America printed on it. And we did not. We left billions of dollars in equipment. And in August of this year, 2024, just 2 weeks ago, the Taliban held a victory parade and they used our equipment to parade with. And number seven, I suggested that we withdraw fully at the time of our own choosing. But we didn't do that. Biden let them run us out. Look, if we do anything remotely like the things I outlined, we would have maintained our national honor, but Biden-Harris administration did not. Biden-Harris and their lackeys handed our honor over to those who have little regard for it. Duty, honor, country, it's far more than a series of words. We should never forget the 13 who died at Abbey Gate. And my hope is that we will not have to go back to those dusty grounds again and recoup what we handed away. But Afghanistan is once again a safe haven for our enemies. So I suspect that we will once again set up shop there, up close and personal. So I don't know what happens right now, but I do know what happened before. I was there. We made a difference. I know we did. Politicians screw it up every time. But all of you out there who got that moon dust on your boots, who heard the muezzins make their daylight calls in the villages outside your fobs, who lived inside and outside the wire, and who lived for the day that you got that one scratchy call home to your family, all of you out there who made relationships faster and deeper because of the service you and your mates committed together, who bled and sweated and labored and railed and laughed and mourned in a hard place where hard things happened, you did not do so in vain. Your honor's intact. You won that war. Politicians are the ones who screwed it up. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, let that sink in. I say it with all clarity and with all sincerity. All of you out there who served and had family members and friends who served, you did so and you did it right. You did it absolutely right. You can't help what politicians do in the background. But by God, a change in leadership is due, and we need to reclaim some of that honor. In Jesus' name, I say it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.